This is the Straight Dope Podcast. I decided to put out a little episode because I have heard a couple things that have been recurring in the greater shooting community that I thought would be pretty fun to talk about. If you like this podcast and you want to support it, go to riflecraft.com, get a subscriber account, and that will help support the podcast. It also helps future projects and other things, so do it. Thank you to all of you who are subscribers, and it helps a ton in getting these out and continuing the Riflecraft project. Other companies like Mile High Shooting Accessories are great places to go shop. They have everything that you need, can ship anywhere in the country. They're a great company, and they support this podcast. The Sniper's Hide is always evolving. It's a giant community, and there are new things going on to Sniper's Hide every single week that are cool and worth reading and being a part of. There's also the Hide TV section, which is growing, and it's going to have online training. It's going to have videos that are free. It's going to have subscriber stuff, all sorts of things that are available there. Lots free, lots paid for, but Sniper's Hide is a great resource, and I think you should go there and check it out for yourself. Follow along at Gun Around the Sun on Instagram, Chris Way on Facebook, and if you want to talk to me about anything, just email chris@riflecraft.com and we can start a conversation. So, what was it that kept circulating? What I kept hearing about is now that the competition season has started for PRS shooters, for NRL shooters, for sniper competition shooters, for 22 shooters, is something that it's not unique or new, but it's something that we've probably all done, heard, or have some experience in. And that is, man, I saw somebody do it this way, or people on my squad did this thing or this new thing, and I tried it and it went horribly wrong. And you could take it and put in all sorts of things. And it boils down to what circulates through my head is, I spent all this time doing X for Y, so let's just do Z because it looked cool. That's awesome. I do all sorts of things because, hey, I just got this crazy idea and I'm going to try it. But there's a difference between training, screwing around, and performance. So when you're going to do something for performance, it's usually not a good idea to try something for the first time. Now, you're all probably saying, yeah, of course, duh. You've probably also done that, and I've done it. And when you go to do something for performance, you probably want to pick what your best option for that is. Now, I love trying to figure out more and more options for the same stuff, because I don't think what everybody does is necessarily the best idea. I don't necessarily think that I have the best idea, but I think that the idea of, you know, we're sending a bullet down range, there's probably a lot of ways for a person to do what they need to the rifle in order for the rifle to do what it's supposed to do. And limiting yourself in how you do it based on what you see other people do is at very best going to bring you towards their level of performance. But if you're going to push it and expand it and grow, or if what you do changes, all of a sudden that option might not even work for that. So what you do in training should be diverse. It should be different. It should be exciting. It should be new. You should be curious about stuff. You should have things that you're kind of dicking around with. You should have things that you're trying to polish up and figure out if they'll work with a little bit of practice. And then you should have things that you're sustaining and developing to those fine nuanced degrees. But in performance, probably have a plan of your best or your best two or maybe your best three options, but not like, oh man, I see that new gadget. Let me give it a shot here and see if it works in my outlet. Because I think it's totally normal to see somebody and you go, man, that was smooth. Oh shit, they made that look so easy and efficient. And oh man, they cleaned this or they did this like it was flawless. When somebody is good at what they do, they look smooth at it, right? I mean, if you look at like classic dancers, right? Like Fred Astaire, He's smooth and graceful, and most of us don't look like that when we try to dance. People make things look very easy, like a golfer that hits a little white ball and flings it a few hundred yards. Like, man, that was so easy looking and efficient looking. Or a swimmer in the water. You think, man, it looks like they're swimming really slow, right? And then you jump in the pool and it looks like you're drowning. Or they scored a lot of points. And you think, oh, man, you know, they scored a lot of points doing that. And I usually don't score that many points. I'm going to try their thing. Those are smooth, easy, efficient, doing well, scoring points are indicators and signs that somebody has skill and experience. They're not signs and indicators that what they're doing, you're going to be able to do and look like that. I don't know what you guys do for a living, but I imagine that most jobs, somebody goes, oh man, I wish I had your job. It seems pretty easy. And you think, well, yeah, I've been doing it for a long time and I got the hang of it. But if you just took somebody off the street and put them in your job, chances are workflow wouldn't continue the same way the workflow goes when you're at your job. And why would it be any different in the things that we like to do? In fact, people are spending tons of money to get good at this, whereas jobs, like, they're trying to pay you. So people aren't going to pay tons of money to do something that is super easy, or it wouldn't be expensive to do because it would just be normal and it would be fairly pedestrian. People would just crush life and do it, kind of like getting out of bed. Probably isn't a sport for most people. We probably all do it just fine, or brushing our teeth or something like that. So where's this going? You know, how's it going to help you? I think, you know, it's mostly just to say that all of us experience that moment where we see somebody doing something awesome and we think, I could do that if it was just something, right? And most of the time it goes back to those people are experienced. So rather than that thing, you know, I think it's get experience. You'll get smoother. Get familiar with what you're doing. It'll look efficient and easier. It'll also allow you to score more points because you'll realize what it takes and what actually goes into scoring those points. But if you see the big thing that stands out, that's probably not what it is, right? If Michael Jordan does all this badass shit and you're like staring at his shoes, it's probably not his shoes that are scoring him all those baskets. But those are the things that stand out if you're paying attention to shoes. And, you know, I feel like it's kind of worn out, this idea of confirmation bias or looking for the thing that you're looking for. But we really can't help it other than knowing I'm looking for this. That doesn't mean that is the answer for this bigger problem that you think looking for this is trying to answer, right? So gadgets and gizmos, probably not what you're looking for. Techniques, you know, it could be if you're making a list of techniques, but it's probably not the thing that's going to just magically turn on a light switch, because if it was, it'd have flipped on for everybody all at the same time. I think at least my opinion is that we're all pretty much the same. So if it was really just the matter of, you know, flipping a circuit breaker or plugging in a battery and turning on something in us that would immediately cause this miracle to happen, you know, it would have happened, right? And it would be easy to repeat it for everybody. And that's just not the case. And that's where I double back to think about how long it took you to get good at something you're an expert at, the time, the effort, the failure, the dedication, the focus, and kind of come to terms with the fact that the people that you're looking at did do that. And you should know better than to try to look for shortcuts. Now, the shortcut that I think exists for everybody is making a plan, identifying it, and then staying the course. And if that course happens to be 6 months, 9 months, 20 months, 5 years, or the rest of your life, you know, man, I'm just going to stay the course. I'm going to do this, and it's going to pay dividends as I progress down this, because I'll be getting experience. Things will become more efficient. I'll start scoring more points. It'll look smooth. And yeah, it'd be cool if it just happened tomorrow, but most of the things that we value aren't the things at the end of the path, right? They're along that path. Now, I am not a good poster child for this like strategy or mindset. If you look at my medical record, it is probably more expensive and more chapters dedicated to physical trauma than most of the people listening and the people that you're listening know personally. And that's because I see people doing things I want to do, and I'll go try them too. So I'll give you some examples of things that look pretty easy and how I figured out that it's not so easy. I like to surf, and I'm not an amazing surfer, but I'm a pretty good surfer. And waves are different when you travel around the world, and conditions are different: water temperature, water density, wave size, wave height, you know, and so on and so forth. If you surf, you're rolling your eyes, and if you don't surf, you might not realize that there are huge differences in wave speed, you know, boards that are required, and it's not all that different from shooting, except that it's totally different from shooting. So anyway, I thought I was pretty good, and I saw people. It was really good conditions once, and I was on the north shore of Oahu, and I thought, man, it would be cool to surf Pipeline. I was out there watching the waves, and man, conditions looked just right. And I thought, man, the wave looks perfect. The wave isn't like excessively big. It's not excessively small. Like everybody's dropping in, just freaking awesome. And I think, dude, I could do that. So I paddle out, sit out there for a little bit, you know, and then I drop in, and the next thing I know, I was in a hospital, and I had a big hospital bill, because what I saw was people doing something smooth and doing the thing that I wanted to do, and I didn't realize the missing skill sets, and just found out the hard way. Now, I still surf, and I still go surfing, but I haven't gone back there. One of these days I will, and kind of just not. I don't really ever put mental blocks for things like that. I just haven't happened to go back there, because now I live in Colorado, and it's hard to go surfing enough to be pretty good. But the point here is that you see people doing things, and you think, man, that looks really freaking easy, and usually it's not as easy to somebody who's not indoctrinated and doesn't embody those skill sets, right? And the latest surgery that I had, some of you know, some of you don't know, but it was I've had a lot of surgeries. It took, you know, some have had big recoveries, some have had shorter, pretty big recoveries. And this one was, you know, in that kind of 9-month time frame, and couldn't do much in terms of physical activity. So I figured, okay, I'm going to just pick up a guitar, and, you know, it looks pretty easy. People sing and play music, and, you know, it'd be totally easy. And again, like, it's not that easy. And it certainly doesn't sound like the stuff that I'm trying to play. And so those subtleties, they're not just like, oh, I need to get these strings and it's going to sound like that, or I need to, you know, get this pick and it's going to sound like that. It doesn't sound good anyway when I play. And I was like, oh, well, you know, they say it's hard to sing and play guitar. So I tried singing and playing guitar, and then it just sounds worse because I can't sing and I can't play guitar. But the idea here is that, you know, what got me on that is like, I need to keep myself busy. I need to figure out something to do that's going to be curious and keep my brain motivated at learning something and my body motivated to do something physically that requires coordination. But of course, I thought, like, how hard could it be, right? I mean, little kids are making terrible music and it sounds all right. So, you know, why can't I do that? And, you know, so shooting, what are some examples that I think may be causing some issues? Like, man, I don't know. I mean, you name it. If you don't do it, then you should probably start and try and get familiar with and practice, but don't just jump into a match. Like a hunter match, I did write like 3 bullet points for this talk, and then I'll just be done. Hunter matches, people think like, oh man, you know, I need a 11-pound rifle and it needs to shoot this good. So I work on my load. And when I tell, if people do ask me about hunter matches, You know, usually they're focused on making their rifle as light as possible. What bag, what, you know, what load, what bullet, you know, I need it to be this light. And I say, man, I wouldn't worry about that right now. I would worry about, you know, how are you going to carry your stuff, deploy it, find the targets, record that stuff, and still have time to shoot them. No, man, I totally got that. I've been watching videos, been listening to podcasts. Like, that's no problem. Dude, we got 4 minutes. Like, okay. But what do you think about the balance of the rifle? Like, it looks like it's balanced pretty good. What do you think about this load? Man, it looks like you could even use it at a PRS match. Like, it seems pretty good. I'm not so sure. You know, what about the data here and here and here? And I'm like, man, I don't think you're going to get enough chance to shoot the targets if you can't find them. No, I got it. And then they go to a match and they're like, man, I timed out. I couldn't find enough targets. I'm going to get one of those laser mounted rifle lasers, and that's going to give me all the time I need. And so they get it. They go to a match and they time out because binoculars have a different technique than the laser rangefinder. And the laser rangefinder will range the target, but you still have to find the targets with binoculars. And, you know, it's not that either is bad, but people that are doing well with those types of equipment are practicing with them, or they see a sniper and they're like, man, you know, if the Army uses it, then I'm going to use that because the Army, you know, whatever, you know, I saw this movie, and I think they overlook the skills that are required in order to use something like that and say, it's going to save me time. And at first it's not going to save you time, right? It's going to take you much longer. And so then if you try it and you go, oh man, you know, this sucks, it's really slow, man, that might be the wrong answer too. You need to develop the skill with it so that then you develop speed with it. And so criticizing things because they didn't work for you is easy to do because we look for the negatives and say, oh man, you know, not only did I, you know, go to the match and just decide to do this new technique, but it sucked and I sucked, so I'm never going to do that again. You think, man, if you just work on it for a while, then it might be better and it might be fast, but you won't know till you actually put in some time getting some information. The PRS guys, you hear a lot of questions about, like, well, I need to be able to build a I want to get my building breaks down to 8, you know, 7, 6 seconds. And it's like, okay, well, you know, show me, like, you know, build a position and take 2 shots from kneeling. And it's like, well, it's an inch to the left. It's like, man, you know, no matter how fast your building break is, if that target isn't at least 2 MOA, that group that's an inch left doesn't have a chance of hitting the target. So let's work on fundamentals. And then when you have that, then you could speed that fundamental up. But they see the speed and the performance. They say, oh man, so-and-so, they did this build and break and they have this bipod. And I think that's going to save me 2 seconds on my build and break time. And they still have that fundamental impact shift, or they don't see where the impact is going, or they're not doing the fundamental things that the good PRS shooters are so good fundamentally, and they're so proficient and so efficient, and they're doing all this stuff that stands out as sexy, but that's not really why they're hitting. They've developed a good skill set that has gotten faster, and what they happen to be using now allows them to exploit their skills, but it doesn't give them the skills, because I guarantee that those people, as they were getting good, they didn't use that stuff. So in athletics, a lot of times it's easy to see somebody at the pinnacle of their career performing, and then they put out a video like, this is how I train, and everybody wants to do what they're doing to train. And what I ask is, you know, I don't care what you're doing now. What did you do to get to where you're at? And if there are pit stops or milestones or checkpoints along a path from where you are to where they are, I would probably try to race through that path, because other people have troubleshot the route, but you're going to have to traverse that path before you arrive at their skill level with the knowledge that you need to be able to apply it. So ask people what they did, not what they're doing, and see if that's reasonable. And if you can fill that gap faster, you'll get there a little bit faster, but you need to pick up the things that you're going to need along the way. Right, it's almost like a scavenger hunt. Like, you're gonna build a house, but you gotta go over here and get a hammer, and you gotta go over here and you gotta get nails, and then you gotta go over here and you gotta chop down wood, and here you gotta get all this stuff, and then you get here and you build a house. But if you just run to where you're gonna build the house, You won't have a hammer and you won't have nails and you won't have the resources that you need. And really, it's that that gets you there. And then at that point, people trial and error that path, but that path is probably a good one to follow till you get towards the end. And then it is a mystery land and people are trying different things and expanding the horizons by pushing the boundaries. But don't push the boundaries when you're a mile behind the front, because that has been traversed and explored a lot already. I think that that's probably a good, that's something that, I'd probably tell my kids, or I would probably tell a friend, or I would tell you guys. This is my opinion, and you might disagree, and you might think that I'm an idiot, and that's great. I think that where people are performing has involved tons and tons of trial and error to get to where we are, and a lot of people didn't make it to the end or even on the path whatsoever, but people learned, hey, don't do what so-and-so did because it didn't go well, right? All the rules of firearm safety, they weren't just like, hey, let's sit around and make a bunch of rules. I think they were, somebody did this and they blew their head off, or they shot their neighbor, or something bad happened and the rule was made. So the pack steered to the right and then something happened that way. So they steered to the left. And eventually it was like, hey, if we follow these rules, people don't get holes in them. Sweet. You don't need to figure that out again. Just get through it, understand it, so that you could continue. With the gear and the training and the drills, it seems like a lot of people want to try to figure all those things out again. And it's like, why not get there and then figure cool new shit out? To me, that is the shortcut, right? Follow the path and don't get off it. You'll get there faster. But everybody wants to try to take a shortcut. They get off the path, and then it's very hard to get back on the path, right? Because there's not really a breadcrumb trail for people that just decide to take a detour. If you get off any path towards anything you're going to, which a lot of people do, they don't come back to that, right? How many people do you know that set out to do something and decided to take a break for a little bit to do something else, or to do something that they needed to do something and never made it back to that path? It's just too tempting, right? There's too many options. That doesn't mean they didn't find something awesome and fun and rewarding for them to do, but they certainly didn't get back to the path. So if you're single-mindedly focused on getting better as a rifle shooter, don't forget that the goal is the goal, not, oh, I'm gonna go this way and I'm gonna go this way. Keep the goal the goal. All right, if you like this, then subscribe to Riflecraft, because that kicks ass. And if you like this, you want to share it, please share it, like it, subscribe it, put it on social media, tell your friends, play it again. And if you want to argue with me in a good way, chris@riflecraft.com. And I love reading and responding to emails. I don't like talking on the phone. All right, till next time.